Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. We will learn here from Krishna's own example a very important instruction for our progress in bhakti. Jivasya ya sansarato vimokshanam na janato nata vahat sharirata. The living being, caught in the cycle of birth and death, does not know how he can be delivered from the material body, which brings him so much trouble. But you, the Supreme Lord, descend to this world in various personal forms, and by performing your pastimes, you illumine the soul's path with the blazing torch of your fame. Therefore, I surrender unto you. Krishna is so merciful that he sheds light on our path so that we can see clearly what is to be done and what is to be avoided. Srila Prabhupada speaks about the blessing of the Lord to the conditioned soul in a very moving way, I find. He says, we, the conditioned souls, have fallen in the ocean of nations, but the human body fortunately provides us a good opportunity to cross the ocean, because the human body is like a very good boat. When directed by a spirit master acting as the captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped across by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of all these facilities to cross the ocean of nations, he is certainly committing suicide. Let us focus a little bit on these favorable winds, which are given by Lord Krishna through the medium of Shastra. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam a very important instruction which we would like to highlight today. It brings out a principle that is, blessings are more powerful in our spiritual life to move us on than one's own effort. Krishna, in his pastimes, gave a lot of instructions, and here is one which is talking about this principle. In the morning, Sri Krishna would step out of the palace and give gifts. He would greet his ministers, and then he would distribute flower garlands, pan and sandalwood paste to the brahmanas. He would also give the same gifts to his friends, his ministers and wife. And finally, he himself would put on a garland, or have a garland be put upon him, and some of his servants decorated him with cooling sandalwood paste. By then, the Lord's driver Daruka would have arrived. He had brought his supremely wonderful chariot, joked with Sugriva and his other horses. Then Daruka would step down from the chariot. He would pay his obeisances to Lord Krishna, who was still surrounded by the brahmanas and his friends, ministers and wives. And Daruka would stand before the Lord, ready to do all services. So when Krishna had done his regular activities in relationship to all these people around him. He was holding on to his charioteer's hand and as if needing help, and then mount the chariot together with Satyaki, that was a Kshatriya warrior who was trained by Arjuna, and by Uddhava. So the three of them, Krishna, Satyaki and Uddhava, would now goes ride through the town. Krishna looked at that time just like the sun rising over the easternmost mountains. It was not easy for Krishna to get going because at that time his devotees and especially the palace women are mentioned here would look upon him with shy and loving glances, and he had to tear away himself, but they would continue to hold Krishna's image in their hearts by remembering their his smile. So then the Lord would go to the Sudama assembly hall. It is described anyone who enters this hall is becoming protected from the six waves of material life, you know, hunger, thirst, old age, disease, and so on. So now we come to a particularly important passage. At one time, suddenly, Narada appeared. It's described in the Bhagavatam that he has a mass of golden matted locks on his head. He looks effulgent. At that time, Lord Krishna, the Bhagavatam says, who is the worshipable master of even planetary rulers like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, would get up from his seat as soon as he saw Narada Muni had arrived. Joyfully he stood up, along with his ministers and secretaries, to receive the great sage and offered his respectful obeisances by bowing his head. Then Lord Krishna offered him a seat and worshipped and honored him. And he spoke something. He said, "O Narada, it is certain that today the three worlds have attained freedom from all fear, for that is the influence of such a great personality as you, who travel at will throughout the worlds." My dear devotees, this blessing to become free from fear is there for everyone who comes in contact with a true saintly person. The saintly devotees, in fact, travel through this Kunta Loka, this world of fear, just to do that, to bestow fearlessness. They say, let us all become happy by worshipping Krishna and thus become free from the fear which appears at the moment when we are separated from Krishna. Consider a spark who is no longer in the fire. He will soon become overwhelmed by the influence of the non-fiery atmosphere and become extinguished. So this becoming extinguished or dying is the ultimate cause of all our small little fears. And that those fears appear when we are out of the Krishna fire, so to say. So, yes, Krishna told by his own example several times that by respecting devotees, brahmanas, and so on, this great blessing is received, the blessing of attaining freedom from all fear. Once we hear there was a devotee called Trilochan. He had this deep desire in his heart to serve the devotees, but he had only, he was by himself with his wife, and they couldn't satisfactorily host all the saints who came by in their town, and it gave him distress. So he prayed to the Lord for a servant, and the Lord took this very directly, very personally. He one day came dressed like a beggar with torn blankets, a torn blanket and a broken shoes, and says, "I will take up your work if you are agreeable to my condition." Trilochan said, what condition do you have? The Lord, now having taken the form of a servant, a poor man, said, "I'm very hungry. I eat a minimum of 5 or 6 kilos of rice daily. It's because of this the people have not hired me so far." So Trilochan said, "Be free from worry. You just do your service and eat how much you want." Now the devotees came. This servant, who was named Antayami, massaged their lotus feet. He cooked for them. He served them prasadam. He cleansed the floor afterwards. The home of Trilochan quickly became a hub, a center of saints, Vaishnavas, devotees, and all kinds of saintly personalities. As a result, the good wife had Trilochan had to was always on her feet. One day she came to her neighbor, and the neighbor noticed, "You look so lean and thin. What?" "Oh," said the wife, "my husband brought a servant from somewhere, but he eats so much, even when he has filled his stomach more than we normal people, you know, with more quantity than we normal people eat. He's not satisfied. I have to cook more and more for him. And because of this, I became a little weak. But please don't tell this to the servant, because he might take it personally and leave." Now, Krishna, who had arranged all this, he had thought to make his point very deeply and memorably. He heard this because he's the Antayami, that is the witness in the heart of everyone. He's not just was not just named like this. He was actually overhearing the conversation and left. When Trilochan did not see his servant Antayami, who was really the original Antayami, the witness in the heart, he did not eat or drink anything for 3 days. He asked his wife, "Did you say something that hurt him?" And his wife said, "Yes, I briefly talked to the neighbor, and I briefly told that I have to always cook so much for this servant of yours, because he eats only from my hand. But he was not there. He could not have heard it." Trilochan was inconsolable. He lamented like this. One day a voice from the sky spoke, "Take your food and drink, Trilochan. I am very pleased with your service mentality towards the devotees and saints. And that is why I personally rendered service to the devotees as your servant. Actually, I feel like your servant because I am controlled by your devotion. I eternally reside in your house. If you want, then I can return and serve while staying in your house. But Trilochan felt even more sad. He had made the Lord his servant. And he lamented even more. He said, this is the most shameful behavior. I can no longer show my face to the devotees. People call me a devotee, but what service have I rendered to the Supreme Lord? I was so foolish. I couldn't even recognize him. Now, in this way, from that day on, Trilochan received the greatest blessing from the Lord. He always thought of the Lord, being fully absorbed in his beauty, his wonderful ways of showing by his example and teaching. By his example. So, my dear listeners, let us serve devotees. Let us be for them a support. This will greatly attract the Lord to us. I thank you all very much and I wish you all the best. See you at the next episode.